In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I once heard an Orthodox person quoting a second century Jewish rabbi, and this rabbi made the comment that it wasn't proper for a man to spend much time talking to his own wife, much less to women he was not married to. And this person went on to observe, and that's pretty much the way it often has been in the Orthodox Church. And I'm not sure what Orthodox Church that person has been in, because that's not been my observation, and it's certainly not what you find when you read the lives of the saints, and that's especially the case with the saint that we commemorate today, Saint Catherine. Her martyrdom took place during the reign of the Emperor Maxentius at the beginning of the 4th century, not long before Christianity became legal. She was of noble lineage. She was very wealthy. She was stunningly beautiful and had received the best education that money could buy in those days. She was thoroughly educated in philosophy, history, science, the ancient poets, logic, rhetoric, languages, and medicine, and had an exceptionally high level of natural intelligence to go with that education. And everyone who knew her were astounded by her in pretty much every respect. She was just an amazing young lady. And given all these virtues that she had, and the fact that she was also wealthy didn't hurt, she had many suitors that wanted to ask for her hand in marriage. And she loved learning so much that she really had no desire to get married, but as a sort of an excuse to avoid the question, she said that she could only marry a man that was her equal in wealth, wisdom, beauty, and compassion. And that pretty much eliminated all the petitioners. And so most of these guys had given up, and her mother was concerned about what the future of her daughter would be, and her father was a pagan, but her mother was a secret Christian. And so she went to a holy man that lived on the outskirts of Alexandria and asked for his advice, and then he asked her to bring Catherine to him, and she told Catherine, "I can direct you to a magnificent man, a man who is lordly and majestic in his bearing, who is wise and wealthy beyond your greatest dreams, who is compassionate beyond compare, and whose beauty causes the very sun itself to fade." Well, hearing this, she was astounded, and she was assuming that he was talking about an ordinary earthly man. And so she asked, "Well, how can I meet this person?" And so he handed her an icon of Christ and the Virgin Mary holding the Christ child, like we typically see. And he told her to go home and to ask in her prayers that this man would be revealed to her. And so she prayed, and then she fell asleep, and she had a dream. And in that dream, she saw the Virgin Mary holding the Christ child very much like she saw in the icon that she was given. And it says in her life that he shone more radiant than the sun, but his face was turned to the Virgin Mary and away from Catherine. So she moved to the other side because she wanted to see his face, and he turned his head away again. And then the Virgin Mary said to Christ, "Look, my son, at your beautiful and pious servant Catherine." And Christ answered, "No, she is not beautiful but ugly and unbelieving, and I will not look at her." And it says the Virgin Mary asked him again, "But she is the wisest and wealthiest and most beautiful of people in the world." And he responded, "No, she is silly and ignorant, and I will not let her see me. However," he added, "if she will return to the man who gave her the icon and follow his instructions rigorously, then she will someday see me and be consoled." Upon waking from the dream, she immediately took an entourage to go see the hermit again, and when she reached the cave, she told him of the dream and begged him to instruct her on what she needed to do to be able to see the face of this child that she had seen. And she was so gifted and intelligent that she absorbed the teachings of the Christian faith very quickly and was soon baptized. And after her baptism, she had another dream of the Mother of God and the Christ child, but this time Christ said, "Before she was poor, and now she is rich. Before she was ignorant, and now she is truly wise. Before she was proud, and now she is humble. She is now worthy, and I accept her as my bride." And then Christ placed a golden ring on her hand and said, "Today I take thee as my bride for all eternity." This was a dream, of course, but when she awoke, there was actually a gold ring on her finger. And it just so happened that not long after this, the Emperor Maxentius was in Alexandria, and he demanded that all the people show their loyalty to the state by offering sacrifices to the old gods. And Catherine refused, and she, being a very prominent person who was known by many, created quite a stir by her refusal to offer sacrifice, and so she was brought before the emperor. And when she began to denounce the idolatry and the foolishness of paganism to the emperor recognized that he was not dealing with an ordinary young woman, and this she was extremely knowledgeable and intelligent, and he was afraid that if he actually engaged in an argument with her himself, he would be made to look a fool. So he used the excuse, well, it's not proper for an emperor to debate a young lady such as yourself, but I'll get some people to debate you. So he put out the word that he would reward handsomely any educated men who would come and refute St. Catherine. And about 50 of these people showed up. And as we heard in the Gospels, not only was her own natural wisdom and intelligence at work, but she was given great wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everything that they threw at her, she was able to refute them, often from their own pagan writings, to show that what they were saying was nonsense. And at the end of the discussion, they were left speechless. And the emperor asked them, well, wait a minute, you know, is that all you've got? And basically, they said, yeah, that's all we got. And as a matter of fact, as the emperor began to pronounce judgment over them and said that they would all be burned alive, they asked St. Catherine what to do because they wanted to embrace Christ. And she told them that the flames that they would be burned in would be a purifying baptism for them, and they would be received by Christ. And so they converted to the Christian faith. Then the emperor turned to promises of great wealth and threats of great torment and hoped that he could scare her or intimidate her into renouncing her Christian faith and offering sacrifices. But she refused and wasn't swayed by any of this, and so she was flogged and she was tortured. And ultimately, there was one guy who said, I've got an invention that will surely scare her into renouncing the faith. And it involved four wheels with blades, and it's hard to imagine exactly what this was, but apparently when she was put in between these wheels, these blades would just cut her to pieces. And he told the emperor, before you do it, of course, let her see how it works, because just the sight of this will no doubt scare her into renouncing her faith. And so this contraption was built, and then as they tried to demonstrate the contraption, it all fell to pieces by the power of an angel. And of course, they just wondered, you know, what was the problem with this machine? Was it a design flaw or what have you? But the emperor, in frustration, finally decided, well, let's just get it over with, and he commanded that she be beheaded. And before she was beheaded, she said to those that were present, do not grieve, but rather be joyous, for I now go to meet my Savior, my Creator, and my Bridegroom, Jesus Christ, in his heavenly kingdom, and I shall reign with him forevermore. Do not cry there for me, but for yourselves, who will soon suffer greatly. And then she was beheaded. Her relics today are in St. Catherine's Monastery on Mount Sinai. St. Catherine's Monastery is one of the oldest and most important monasteries in the Orthodox Church, and it's named for this saint and dedicated to her memory. And if you ever go there as a pilgrim, one of the things that they give to the pilgrims as sort of a souvenir, as a sign that they were a pilgrim to that monastery, is they give them a little ring that has the name of St. Catherine on it as a commemoration of a ring that Christ gave to her. And the important lesson that we need to get from our life is that whatever gifts we may have in this life, or whatever gifts we may wish that we might have, all of these things fade into insignificance in comparison with our relationship with God. And we have to put that relation first and foremost and be prepared to suffer and even die for it. Through the prayers of the Holy Great Martyr Catherine, our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Amen.